Good morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries. It's a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Barah Ministries teaches the Word of God from God's perspective and not from human perspective. Our God is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe and all things in it, including us creatures. John chapter 1, verse 3 says this: all things came into being through the Lord. That's God the Son, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Today's Bible lesson, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. If you want to upset people, just say that. Jesus Christ is God. And then them fighting words, you better get ready to stand it off. Now, once people know that I play golf, they often ask me if I'm a member of a country club. I'm not one to say never, because I've done that too many times in my lifetime and been burned. But I can tell you with great certainty, I am not the country club type. I'm not the person who wants to be around a certain type of person. Like our Lord, I am a whosoever person, and I always have been. I went to high school with a bunch of smart kids, and one of them was what is called an autistic savant. An individual with autism who has extraordinary skills not exhibited by most people. And he had a ritual rocking dance that he would break into at unpredictable times. He'd kind of just do this. He'd just rock back and forth, and then he'd start doing his hands like this, and he'd go faster and faster and faster. And those of you who are listening auditorially, I'm sorry you can't see that. But it was just a rocking back and forth, and it's akin to what some people on the autism spectrum do, which is called head banging. Like when they get upset, they start banging their heads. Well, when he did that, the other kids thought it was time to taunt him, but they didn't do it on my watch. Because whenever I was around and they started the teasing, I would stop them from doing that. And I take him and sit him down and calm him down. I have always been a whosoever person. My life has been filled with friendships with the mutts of the world, people everyone else calls weird. You know, like our song worship leader, for example. Wait a minute, that's not in the script. That just popped in from nowhere. All my Kansas friends. But people I love being around. For years, I couldn't understand why I gravitated to these underdogs, to the handicapped, to animals, to children, to single mothers, to nerds, to anyone in need. And not until I became a pastor did I learn that this is just part of the built-in things that are a part of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, a deep compassion for those that the world calls at risk and less fortunate. And the fact that I'm one of those, I think, contributed something too. Well, the Lord is the same. The Lord is a whosoever God. Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 to 12 say this: then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house — this was Matthew's house, so not unusual that Matthew would be reporting this in his gospel — behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. Now, in the Bible, sinners is usually a reference to unbelievers. In this case, it's probably a reference to prostitutes. You know, that certain type of person that the self-righteous Pharisees didn't like. Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw Jesus hanging around with this certain type of people, he said to they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" Tax collectors like Matthew, also known as Levi, who was hosting this party, were lower than prostitutes in the eyes of most Jewish people. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12. And when Jesus heard what the Pharisees were saying, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick need a physician." The Lord's focus was on the ones who knew they needed help and not on the self-righteous. See, the self-righteous don't think they need help. But there are some people in the world who know they need help and are always looking for it. The certain type of people are the ones who take advantage of God's grace. Well, welcome whosoever to a place where you can learn from a whosoever pastor who loves our whosoever God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our first song today, as we open our hearts and open our ears to the truth that is nestled deeply within the Word of God, the word of the all-powerful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the song Whosoever, sung by our Whosoever song worship leader, June Murphy.
Oh, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever will believe, eternal victory is already won. The Lord Jesus went to the cross, yes, He did,
believe.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for loving us all unconditionally. Thank you for sending your Son to forgive us for everything. Thank you for giving us the Spirit as a still small voice to guide us into all the truth. Thank you for your graciousness, allowing us to make mistakes as we learn. Enlighten us with your word today. Take on our burdens. Protect us from ourselves and from those who wish to do us harm. Sensitize us to the needs of those around us. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. We begin with a few announcements. Mark your calendars. There are 5 dates that are evening lessons only. We removed the September one, so we got May 7th, June 25th, July 23rd, August 6th, October 8th. Deacons, I trust you'll get these on the calendar. I saw 1 month. I saw some times popping up on the calendar now. Are we getting these on too? Yeah, gotcha. Have you guys talked to Mark? All right, that's great. All right, no face-to-face lessons December 3rd and December 31st. You want to get those on your calendar as well. Your calendars, the next deacons meeting is next week, March 11th, 7:30 to 9:30. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is next week, March 12th. That's somebody's birthday in here. Who? Lila, my wife. Oh. We'll visit the vets on April 9th. From 1:45 to 3, and also on June 11th, August 20th, October 15th, December 17th. Deacons, that should be on the calendar as well. Homecoming for the non-resident congregation coming up April 21st and 22nd. Looking forward to that. Get those flights booked. Get that the hotel information is on the website. Prayers, please, for our now open Facebook group. Join me in prayer for the petitions and intercessions of everybody who visits our website, our Facebook page, and asks for prayers. I'd ask you to pray for a friend of mine's marriage, and also pray for the family of a friend whose father died this week. Prayers also for Pastor John Farley, who had successful lung cancer surgery this week. They removed his, give him down a little hand. He sounds really good. He's breathing really well. One of the reasons he sounds good is he's because he's on those good drugs right now. But he sounds like his breathing is really normal, and he's practicing to expand his lung capacity. But they took out the right lobe, and his doctor said they think they got everything, so that's great. Happy birthday to a good friend of mine, Brian Davis, who had a birthday yesterday, March 4th. March 4th is the day I want to die. March 4th, 2056, when I'm 100 years old. That's what I ask God for. So let's see if he comes through. You know, because it's a message. March 4th. Yeah, don't worry about me, guys. Just March 4th. That's the message. So anyway, don't be surprised. I don't want to be terrorized that day. Happy birthday to Denny's grandma, Dorothy McConnell, who's also born on March 4th. That's number 91. That's awesome. I hope I get to be 91. Well, I have to get to be 91 if I'm going to die on March 4th, 2056. Right? I still have 10 years to go after that. But she's 91 years young. You belong at Barah Ministries. We're looking for 20 families to help us build a church. And we do that by inviting people to come. So let's see you start inviting some people to come and join us here at Barah Ministries. So, and by the way, one of the great places to have people join us is at the conference. So today's Bible lesson, Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. And I got to tell you, this was quite an emotional lesson for me. Because whenever you start to think about the fact that Jesus Christ is God, it's an emotional experience. It's where your emotions respond with appreciation to the fact that you are in union with the sovereign God of the universe. And where you gain an appreciation, even if only momentarily, for all that he has done for us. Jesus Christ is God is a bold statement, and it is one that engenders controversy in the souls of all those who merely think there is a higher power who want to generic Jesus Christ or who merely think that there is a power in the universe that has their back, to those who merely think, as Aristotle did, that there is an unmoved mover. Well, we're studying Romans chapter 10, and as we begin the transition to the third passage, the Apostle Paul is in thoughtful reflection about his kinsmen according to the flesh, the unbelieving Israelis and the unbelieving Jewish race, and their rejection of their Messiah in favor of following the law. Let's pick it up at passage 2 and then move into passage 3, which we'll be studying over the next couple of weeks. Passage 2 starts at Romans 10:5. For Moses writes this of the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the Mosaic law, self-righteousness. You shall live by that righteousness. Romans 10:6. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Don't say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Romans 10:7. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Romans 10:8. But what does God's righteousness say? God's righteousness says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, the gospel message. And so if you're looking for the gospel message, it's very close to you. It's right in your heart and it's right on your tongue. Romans 10:9. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe with you in your heart that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, an important thing to believe as part of believing in Christ, then you will be saved. Romans 10:10. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in the imputation by God of absolute righteousness. And with the mouth a person confesses this faith, resulting in salvation. Passage number 3, Romans 10:11. This is the passage under study. For the scripture says, whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will not be disappointed. Whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will not be disappointed. Romans 10:12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, abounding in riches for all those who call on him. Romans 10:13, for whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:14, how then will unbelieving Israel and the unbelieving Jewish race call on the Lord in whom they have not believed in? How will they believe in the Lord whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:15. And how will the preachers preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Now into the details of passage 3. Jesus Christ is God. I don't believe you heard me. So let me repeat that. Jesus Christ is God. And the proof? He was resurrected from the dead. Luke chapter 24, verses 5 and 6 say this. And at the Lord's grave, as the women were terrified seeing the two angels sitting there and bowed their faces to the ground, the women were the Marys, Mary of Magdala, who we know as Mary Magdalene, and probably Mary the mother of Jesus Christ's humanity. They bowed their faces to the ground, and the men said to the women, why do you seek the living one, the Lord Jesus Christ, among the dead ones at a tomb? Luke 24:6, the Lord Jesus Christ is not here, but he has risen from the dead just as he said he would. That's a beautiful thing. See, Jesus Christ is this guy who is talking smack. And he's saying, no one comes to the Father but through believing in me, that I am the only way for you to get to heaven. Now, he's either an egomaniacal liar or he's telling the absolute truth. And so everybody talks smack. You know, there was a guy down in Waco, Texas, David Koresh. He said he was Jesus Christ, and a bunch of people believed him and followed him. And that's how cults get started, because people believe what somebody is saying. But you have to prove it. And so Jesus Christ said, all the things he predicted. I will be born in Bethlehem. I will live a life. I will be persecuted my whole life. I will be led to a cross and slaughtered. And they're going to meet me in the Garden of Gethsemane on a certain night. And one of you sitting here is going to betray me. and I'm going to be crucified on the cross, and I'm going to be buried for 3 days, three full days and three full nights, and then I'm going to raise from the dead, and then I'm going to go around town and show over 500 people that I'm back. All those predictions, the chance of those predictions, perhaps any one of them coming true, was about 1 trillion to 1. And yet he fulfilled every single one. So he didn't just talk. He backed up the talk, which is amazing. Now, we're saved when we place our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one and only God, the only one who has ever been raised from the dead. And we acknowledge to God the Father in our hearts and with our mouths that we are certain of the factual nature of his resurrection. For what is written, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 say this: if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, resurrected him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in the imputation by God of absolute righteousness. And with the mouth a person confesses this faith, resulting in salvation. Now, the systematic theology people will turn that into a systematic set of sequences. And they'll say, okay, well, the first thing you have to do is confess it with your mouth, and then the second, or feel it in your heart, and then the second thing you have to do is confess it with your mouth, and if you don't do it in that sequence, then you won't be saved, and then your sins won't be forgiven, because maybe your sins weren't forgiven at the cross, and they go into all this crap, as if human beings can't hold two thoughts in their head at the same time, as if people can't do two things at the same time. These are simultaneous actions, not one after the other. Believe and confess simultaneously with one certain result, salvation, the deliverance from the power of sin, Adam's sin, that made you in union with Adam, the freedom from that, being transferred out of the kingdom of death into the kingdom of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. On to Romans chapter 10, verses 11 to 13. For the scripture says, it is written, love that. For the scripture says, whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will not, no way, no how, ook, not no way, no how, be disappointed. Not never. Romans 10:12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is the Lord of all, the whosoever God. And he is abounding in riches for all, for everyone, for whosoever, who call on him for deliverance. Anyone who calls on him for deliverance. What will happen? Romans 10:13. Whosoever will call on the name, that is the person, of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. No question about it. Will be saved by God. Remember Romans chapter 3, verse 23? Everyone, whosoever, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of God's essence. You know, that's the funny thing about human beings. We have a conscience, and we know the difference from 2 years old between right and wrong. And there are a lot of people that think kids don't know the difference between right and wrong. They do. They know it in their soul. They know it in their conscience. And Deacon Denny is shaking his head. Yeah, they know. Even the country clubbers, though, Romans 3:23, all, everyone, whosoever have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, even the country clubbers. And that's one of the things I always love watching in these people who think they're so special because they have money, or think they are so special because they have position. I remember a long time ago, I was on an international flight, and I was in first class. And first class cost $10,000 at that time. And one of my clients was flying me first class, which I thought was very cool. And it was a really long flight. It was an 18-hour flight. And so, you know, I wasn't dressing like the GQ guy you see today. I probably had on a sweatsuit or something like that. Why are you laughing, Jim? It is not funny. These clothes were carefully picked out with an amazing attention to color coordination and detail. Amen. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I was dressing like I was from Topeka, Kansas. Everything I had on was red. Yeah, amen. She ain't laughing now. So I'm standing around, hanging around where the snack. One of the cool things about sitting in first class on an international flight is they always have snacks available, right? So I'm kind of hovering around the snacks. I was kind of like Eddie Murphy in 48 Hours when he first realized that he was in this new house. He starts stuffing stuff in a bag. So I had a little bag. I'm stuffing all the potato chips and all the goodies in it so I could take it back. And so this guy comes up to me and starts talking to me, and he says, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, "I teach salespeople how to sell." And he said, "Well, what do you do that for a company or something?" I said, "Yes, yeah, my own company." He said, "Well, what are you, a one-man show?" I said, "I don't know what that is." I knew what it was. You know, he was insulting me, right? "What are you, a one-man show?" And I said, "Well, I don't know what that is." He said, "Are you the only person in your company?" I said, "I am, but I mean, I have a fleet of airplanes, United. I have offices all over the world, FedEx office. You know, I have a logistics and delivery service, Amazon. You know, I don't think I said Amazon because I don't think it was even in existence back then. But anyway, I said, "What do you do for a living?" He said, "I own 7 companies." He said, "You know what the problem is with your way of doing things?" I said, "No." He said, "You have to be there to make money. Right now I am on this plane and I am making money in all 7 of my companies, but I am not there." I said, "That's amazing, man. That is amazing. That's something that I don't aspire to." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, I really actively, consciously chose to just be the only person in my company. And I really enjoy it a lot. My company is really a hobby and I enjoy it." And he said, "Ugh. That is not the way to do it." I said, "Okay, well, I appreciate your viewpoint on that." I said, "You have family?" He said, "Yeah, I'm married." "I mean, how many kids do you have?" He said, "I have 3 kids." I said, "Boys, girls?" "Yeah, the oldest is a boy, the youngest is a boy, and the girl is in the middle." I said, "That's awesome. What's your girl's name?" He said, "Her name is, what was her name? Something like Sabrina. Sabrina is her name." And I said, "Who's Sabrina's best friend?" He said, "I beg your pardon?" I said, "Who's Sabrina's best friend?" He said, "Oh, this I do not know." My younger son, Elliot, his best friend is Chris. And Chris has an inoperable brain tumor at the base of his brain. Probably won't last another 6 months. And my older son's best friend is Jeremy. So you, with all your 7 companies, do you think it's important to know your kids' best friend? Do you know anything about your kids? Are you involved in their lives? Or are your kids your company? That conversation ended so fast, it was amazing. See, that's what it's like talking to the country clubbers. The country clubbers don't realize sometimes that he who dies with the most toys still dies. See, the country clubbers don't realize what real wealth is, and real wealth isn't the money. When I was sitting waiting for my operation in Germany, when I was all by myself with the green wall and the crucifix with Jesus still on it and the clock, and I was waiting for the surgery, I wasn't thinking about my bank account. I kind of was. I was thinking, hoping. Nobody was going to raid it. But I wasn't thinking about my bank account because money can't help you at that moment. Cannot help you at that moment. And the country clubbers all seem to think they're so special because of their possessions. But what about relationships? Even the country clubbers fall short of the essence of God. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. You remember Romans chapter 3? What did it tell us? "As it is written, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one." Romans 3:11, "There is no creature who understands God." There is no creature who seeks for a relationship with God. I love so many of these people who are all into their religions. But you ask them anything about the religion, and, oh, I'm not practicing. Well, what good is your religion if you're not practicing? What good is your religion if you don't know anything about it? What good is your religion if all it is a set of rules that you spout about all the things that you follow, which you know you can't follow? What good is your religion then, country clubbers? Well, from the moment of our physical birth, what do these Romans 3 verses say? All fall short of the essence of God. There's none righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands God. There's no one who seeks for a relationship with God. God's not, you know, I always show people this little diagram of the 9 relationships we have in our lives. And one of those relationships is your relationship with God, which is called your spiritual life. And when I have people write out, what's the one thing you want to do in each of these 9 areas in 2017? It's always funny to me how that middle one is just, God? Question mark. I don't know what I want to do in that particular area. And it's consistent across people that there's always the question mark in that area. And if you do that enough times, if you do that hundreds and thousands of times and you interact with people on that particular area and you start to see the consistency of people don't know what their spiritual life is like or what they want to do in that matter, it's really peculiar to you. You'd have to say, I mean, they don't ever have any problem saying what they want to do in the matter of a vacation or what they want to do in the matter of self. But all of a sudden you get to God, they get all choked up, cough up a furball. I just think that's funny. Not funny, ha-ha, but funny, peculiar. I just think it's peculiar that people don't think about the most important part of their lives. They hear this word God, but they don't know his name. They hear this word God, but they don't have a relationship with them. And they think that somehow, because they got some dead presidents in their pocket, or because they join the right club around the right people, that somehow that's going to save them. It's not gonna. That will not save you. From the moment of our physical birth, none of us are special, even though we'd like to proclaim ourselves to be special because of some human accomplishment. But God says we're all the same. How about the people who you'd like to believe, who'd like you to believe that they're better than you? Like every member of my family has wanted me to believe that they're better than me. How about them? God doesn't think so. God doesn't think they're better than me. How about how you think of yourself when you think you're not cutting it? You're not reaching some mark of human achievement fast enough. Like I look around at the pictures of Barah Ministries, the future Barah Ministries on the wall. I look out and I see a couple of families involved in the church and I say, hey, you know, God, what's the deal, man? Where are my peeps? And he says, I'm teaching you some stuff. Why don't you just chill? I was with some friends on Friday night at dinner and I was kind of whining a little bit about my fate. You know, why don't I have the church yet? And, you know, we got the land and the architect. Why don't we have the money yet? And they both said almost simultaneously, you're not ready for it yet, man. If you were ready for it, God would have had it to you already. You're not ready for it. Why don't you just chill? And I remember back, and this is the problem with friends, you know, they have history with you, you know. And you start whining a little bit, they start bringing your history back. I remember when you didn't have a church and all you wanted was a church. And your eyeballs were all big. Yeah, I'm going to be an ordained pastor and I'm going to have a church. And if there's just one person there and a bunch of empty seats, I'll teach the empty seats. You remember that? Yeah, I remember that and I'm sorry you do. Because then you get to this point where you start thinking that God has forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about me. You think he's not going to let me win? He's never let me lose anything. We have the victory already. And it shows up when it's ready to show up. That's our God. Now, what poor country clubbers, they always got to make things happen, man.
just do it. Let's make things happen. If it's to be, it's up to me. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I don't feel that way. I don't master anything. I don't captain anything. Oh, captain, my captain. Jesus Christ is my captain. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the one who's going to bring the things to our experience that he wants to bring to our experience for his glory and not for ours. God has us right where he wants us, right this minute. He has us learning important lessons to prepare us for what he has in store for us. What we hope for as human beings when we pursue any endeavor, that the amount of effort and the amount of investment we put into that endeavor will somehow pay off. I'd like to know that if I eat a certain way, I would become healthy. I'd like to know that if I put my money in certain places, that I will earn from the investment. I'd like to know that if I invest myself in a relationship, it would bear fruit. I thought I would flash back to my first wedding, the first wedding day, and probably one of the tiredest days of my life. My jaws were sore from smiling so much. And I flash back to that day, and I flash back to the hope that I had that this relationship was going to work out when the relationship was doomed from the start. And it was obvious that it was doomed 2 years in. And I didn't listen to that. And then 19 years of death later, had to finally put it down, something that should have been done way before that. And there you go. You get married and all your hopes are dashed. And the relationship that you hoped would be amazing was horrible in your soul. Was like somebody taking a rake and scraping it over your soul. Horrible. In ways that you can't even put into words. And when you put it into words, people are going, hey, man, what? Calm down. You're like bitter. No, I'm not bitter. I'm not any more bitter about that than I am about the scar that I have on my head here that took 24 stitches to close. It's just an experience. Those things happen to people. It is a wound. And it has healed. But if you touch where the wound is, you'll feel it. Just like with Jesus. Thomas didn't want to believe that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. And the doubting one said, yeah, I'm not going to believe it until I actually put my hands in the nail holes. And Jesus came to Thomas finally and said, go ahead, man, put your hand in the nail hole. And in the side, you remember they stabbed me over here, put your hand in the side. My Lord and my God. Yeah, you believe because you saw, but better are those who believed without seeing. How about some faith, Thomas? Give a brother some faith. Amen. Yeah, there are wounds. Dreams dashed. Pain. Tribulation. But I can take it. And so can you, because our God is amazing. Because every time we hurt, he delivers us. I've got a marriage now with a partner, somebody who actually cares that I'm on the planet. It was worth the wait. I'd like to know that if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I place my faith in him, that I'll be saved. I'd like to know he's not a liar. And then I read Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Whosoever will call on the person of the Lord will be saved. And I can't wait to get to heaven. You know why? Because heaven's not going to be full of country clubbers. It's going to be full of mutts. People like June. You got a mutt for a pastor. right? You know how it is. We're mutts. You know, we're a strange group. You know why? Because we actually want to hear the truth. That's why we're so small. Because we actually want to hear the truth. I think about the people who are part of this ministry. You know what? Barah Ministries would be 300 people today if I just didn't care about people. And it would be taking their money like it was going out of style. Because whenever somebody asked me, hey, pastor, can you sit down with me and talk to me? I have some things going on with work, and I know in your other career, you have some wisdom in that regard. Could you give me some insight? Stupid ass me went and did it. And what I should have said is, no. There's a line between the pastor and the congregation. I'm on this side of the line, and you peons are on that side of the line. Take it up with my deacons. Because virtually every one of those times when I came across the line to just be myself with people, they ended up leaving. And that's exactly what's going on with the president of the United States right now. We don't want a leader that is as strong as Donald Trump. We don't want a leader who tells it like it is. We want mealy-mouthed comedians who lie to our face and then are doing subversive things behind our back. That's what we want. And it's not new. It's not new. That's exactly what happened with the creator and the creature angels. They had everything, and what did they do? They killed their authority. That's what they did. It's not new. And see, I don't care how imperfect Donald Trump is or any leader is. And the people that are in Barah Ministries today, they don't care how imperfect I am. They look at themselves and they say, I ain't all that. They look at me and say, he ain't all that. Like I was just teasing June. June looked back up here. Oh, no, brother. Oh, no, I know your skeletons too, brother. She's got her head moving. She's pointing her finger. Oh, yeah, I ain't got the microphone yet. But one of these times when I go up and sing my song, I might just go off on you too, brother. I know some stuff. Yes, she does. She knows everything. But the cool thing about June is it doesn't faze her. It's like, so what? You ought to make a song. So what? That's the people who... exactly you got to get on that song. We'll get that funded quick. So you know, the people who are still in Barah Ministries are just real people who really want to hear the truth, who are committed to it. I love that. I'm lucky to be a pastor of these people, the whosoevers of the world. It's reasonable to hope that if we invest in something, it pays off. Well, the Lord says it's true. Whosoever will call on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Let's take a music break. Let's hear David Dunn tell us what the Lord our God wants us to have. The Lord our God wants us to have everything.
First time I met you, I was on my knees, praying, Lord, if you're out there, can you speak to me? 'Cause I was in a desperate place, my life looked like a hurricane. That moment I felt your grace. So everything.
me have everything. Every day I'm gonna wake up. Gonna wake up. Wake up and say, you can have me.
BFE Michigan, who are watching today. Hello to my friends up in BFE Idaho who are watching today. Love you people. Next is the offering. I was thinking this morning, our giving is a direct reflection of our relationship with Jesus Christ and our attitude toward him. And I want to thank all of you who are avid supporters of our Lord. Thank you for doing that. Let's begin the next portion of our lesson by giving you a chance to make an offering. We need and we value your financial support to continue the work of this ministry. Please welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to give the offering message. Oh.
Good morning. I'm Deacon Denny, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Brah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church where real people come to listen to a real pastor tell real truth. And a couple weeks ago, I don't remember which lesson it was, pastor mentioned something, and it stuck in my head. I jotted it down, and he said that love is not a feeling. Love is a thought. And it makes a lot of sense, because when you first have faith in God, is there a huge feeling that rushes over your body? Like when you first meet a new girl or a new boyfriend, that rush of emotion that you have, it's not the same. And if you love him, and there's no emotion, where is the love then to God? It's through thoughts. It's through knowing who he is and what he's done for us. It's the only way you really love somebody. And that goes the same in our relationships, I think. That first rush of emotion and love, and you just can't wait to be with them, and you're talking to them, and you're texting them, and then 10 years later, none of that. There's no rush to get home and be with them. There's no rush to text them. There's nothing. Where's all the feeling? Where's the love? Where's the thought? You know, when you ask the person, there was a comedian joking the other day how women will ask men questions like, what's your favorite color? You're like, I'm a guy. I don't have a favorite color. I don't care. What's your favorite drywall mud? You don't have one? Oh, okay. I understand now, and that's the same thing. It's very similar. The feeling isn't where love is. The thought is where love is. The thought of that person and what you love about them when you're away from them. The little things, like William, he loves trains, and every time I see a train, I think of William. You know, and those kind of things that translate in a relationship. Something that you know about your partner or your person that you love is what really carries you through. Because when you find out that they're not a perfect person and they've messed up or they've done things that offended you or done things that the world says you need to just get rid of them, those thoughts carry you through, because the emotion is going to squash that love. When rage and hate and bitterness comes through, that love and that freewheeling butterflies in your stomach are all gone then. They're completely gone. And if there's no thoughts, no real character behind the person, no real words to really hold you through, then there's nothing going to be there. You're easily going to lose faith in that person. And that same thing happens with God. when you're not here every week, when you're not listening every day, and you're learning His thoughts and His words through the Holy Spirit, then you just don't have anything. When life crushes you, and emotion just squashes all your mentality, there's nothing to carry you through, and that's why we're here each week. And it makes me think of Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh, the heart, the emotion sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. See, there's a war going on in our soul, just like there's a war going on around us. And oftentimes that voice of emotion and flesh talks louder than the truth. And the only way to get the truth to talk louder is to come here every week and listen to our pastor. Listen to him spill his emotion to us. And I think, you know, it's a testament to our faith, to where we give to this church, like he just said. It really is. It's our relationship with Christ is how we treat people. Our relationship with Christ is how we treat this church and how we give to this church. So I want to thank those that continually give tremendous amounts of money that sustain this church. And thank everybody for coming each week, and thank my pastor for, you know, spilling his heart and taking away from those other nine parts of his, or eight parts of his life, to give to us. It's a tremendous amount of effort. I really thank him. Thank you.
That was the end. A dead pot roll. Today's lesson, Jesus Christ is God. Amen? Welcome back. As we study Romans chapters 9 to 11, we must not forget that Paul is talking about unbelieving Israel and the unbelieving Jewish race. And many of the things Paul is saying throughout these chapters are quotes from the Old Testament. Like Joel chapter 2, verse 32, which says, "And it will come about that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape, and as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls." That's a look forward to the tribulation period, where Satan and his forces have the Jews trapped in a place where they can't get out. And that's when our Lord comes a second time to rescue Israel, to wipe out all unbelievers on the earth, and we will be with him to witness that. So Paul is quoting these Old Testament things because he's talking to the Jewish race in Romans 9, 10, and 11. The Lord Jesus Christ, our God, is always making offers. He is always extending his righteous right hand to those who would believe, so that they might be saved. And frankly, I never get tired of hearing the gospel message. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29 say this: "When Jesus had finished these words," and these words are a reference to the Sermon on the Mount, "the crowds were amazed at his teaching." Matthew 7, 29, "For he was teaching them as if he were one having authority," because he does, "and not as if he were one of their scribes." Jesus Christ is God, and he made it clear in so many places and in so many ways that he is absolutely the one and only God. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 16. Matthew 16, 13 to 16. Say this: "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?'
And the Son of Man, of course, he was referring to himself. Who do people say that I am? Matthew 16:14. And the apostle said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and others say you're Elijah, and still others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They said he was a man. They were always reducing him to man, rabbi, prophet status. Jesus Christ is God, but they didn't want to say it like that. Matthew 16:15, so the Lord asked the payoff question. He said to the apostles, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ. You are the Ho Christo in Greek, the promised Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all Old Testament promises about Messiah. And Peter knew. Peter was a great student. Isaiah 9:6 says this, for a child will be born to us, Jesus Christ. A son will be given to us from God the Father, and the government of the universe will rest on his shoulders. That's who I voted for. I voted for the Lord Jesus Christ. The government of the universe will rest on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is God. Matthew 16:17 says this, and Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Bar is the Hebrew equivalent of Ben. So Simon Bar-Jonah means son of, just like Osama bin Laden is Osama bin, the son of Lada. That's what the Hebrew equivalent is. Well, Simon Bar-Jonah, this is Simon, the son of Jonah. That's what Bar means here. So Jesus said to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal to you that I am the Messiah, but my God the Father who is in heaven revealed this to you. In John 10:30, Jesus made it clear that he is God. Here's what he said. He said, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father are the exact same in essence. I and the Father are one. That's one way to translate it. The real way to translate it is I, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father are the exact same in essence. Mark 14:61-62 say this. Again, the high priest kept on questioning Jesus and saying to him, are you the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One, God the Father? Mark 14:62. Jesus said, I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God, and you shall see the Son of Man, a title for me, sitting at the right hand of the power, God the Father, in a place of highest honor and supreme authority. And you will see me coming with the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead. Jesus Christ is God. It is blasphemy if it is not true, but it is true. The fact that Jesus Christ is God may be disturbing to those who don't believe in him. But their discomfort with the truth doesn't change the truth at all. Jesus Christ is God. And each of us do well when we place our complete confidence in him for our salvation and for everything else. Amen? All right, we close the lesson this way. God wants you. And what he wants is for you to make the most important decision of your life. And what I tell you in Romans 1:16 is I am not ashamed of the gospel message. For it is the power of God, divine omnipotence, the power of God the Father, to provide salvation to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter salvation through the narrow gate. And the narrow gate is the Lord Jesus Christ. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through the wide gate. Matthew 7:14, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to the resurrection life, and there are few who find the narrow way. Why? Because they're not paying attention. John chapter 10, verse 9, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the door. I am the door to salvation. And if anyone enters through believing in me, he will be saved. And then he will go in and out of the door and find pasture. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For all in union with Adam are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. And that's all of us at physical birth. All in union with Adam at physical birth. All mankind are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. But all those in union with Christ, all those who have placed their faith in Christ, all those who believe in Christ will live the eternal life, the resurrection life. God forgives everything. He forgives all of our sins. So nothing is in the pathway between us and a relationship with Him. Closing song, He Remembers to Forget, June Murphy.
Kept from heaven because of their sins. Salvation's door is open, whosoever can enter in. Christ died for the whole world. All you need is to believe. God wants none to perish. Sins are the memory. He remembers to forget. He has never failed us yet. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are cast from us. And yes, He remembers. He remembers. He remembers to forget. God is ever faithful. Our God cannot lie. When stumbling into sinfulness, we need not hide. Restoration is provided, and we can boldly say, He remembers to forget. He has never failed us yet. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are cast from us. They're done in the light. No good deed of the unsaved gets them to heaven. They rejected Christ, and their names will be blotted from the book of life. He remembers to forget, and He has never failed us yet. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are cast from us. And yes, He remembers, He remembers, He remembers. Believe in Christ, eternal life.
June, let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we just thank you for everything. We thank you that you have us in your eyesight, in your heart. You always have and you always will. You've always known our name, and there never will be a time when you don't know our name. And so we're in your care. Help us to remember that you consider our problems to be your responsibility, and help us to remember that we don't always have to carry the load. Let us just give the load to you and sit back and watch you deliver us to the victory. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thanks for everything.